God's grace and peace be with you tonight from God our Savior and Jesus Christ our King. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about anger and about God's anger toward us. Is God still angry with you? Is God still angry with me? We want to know about this because it means everything. In a relationship with somebody else, if someone's angry with you, it's terrible, right? Especially the closer that person is to you, if it's like your spouse or your father, how terrible it is to have anger and have that person angry with you. Well, I'd like to talk with you tonight about God's anger with us. Is he still angry with us? And that's just so important for how you live your life as a Christian, because a lot of people, even as Christians in Christ, still feel like there is this weight of condemnation and anger of God just waiting to smite you in your life. I don't know if that's your case, but it's a very important thing for us to understand. So what does God say? Is he angry or no? We're going to take a look at the parable in a few moments. First, God, we need to understand, does have anger. He does feel that emotion. He does have that disposition and attitude at times toward the world, right? You can look, for example, at Nahum chapter 1. We read here in the scriptures. Listen to how he starts his book. The Lord is a jealous God and avenging. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and of great might, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in the whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by him. Think about that verse, huh? Does God have anger? Yes or no? Answer, yes, he does. And he has anger towards sin. He has righteous indignation because of the injustice that's on the earth. And he also has wrath, which is seeking vengeance, punishment for those sins to bring it to justice. That's God in the Old Testament. How about Jesus in the New Testament? Does Jesus ever express anger that you know of? Yeah, actually. One day he's out there in church, in the Sabbath, on the synagogue, that is, and there's a man with a withered hand. He says, come here. And they were all watching him to see if he'd heal on the Sabbath day. Jesus said to all present, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good and to do harm, to save life or to kill? And they were silent. Nobody answered a word. And it says, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and the hand was restored. God, Jesus, actually did express anger. God, our Father in heaven, actually can feel anger. And anger, in the dictionary definition, is an intense emotional state induced by displeasure. Have you ever felt God's anger at you or upon you? Have you ever felt his hot displeasure? I know in my life, I have many times. In fact, I remember when I was in my earlier 20s, I was kind of straying from the Christian faith. I wasn't well taught growing up by the church and the pastors. And I got into some Native American spirituality, you know, Indian type of stuff and meditation and things. And I was actually straying from Christ, even though I wanted to serve Christ. I didn't know the truth. And I was getting into dangerous areas I shouldn't get into. And I felt an oppression, a judgment, an anger over my life. And I remember being on a hill outside of Rockland, Maine, in the cool night, and there were stars up above, and I just felt like oppression and cloud. And I just cried out, Lord, I'm lost. Show me the way. And it was shortly after that God, through some very actual supernatural events, like visibly supernatural, rescued me out of that and brought me back to Jesus Christ and him alone. Praise God. But I sensed, have you ever felt God's anger at you for a particular sin that you've been involved with or done? Is God an angry God? Is my next question. What do you think? He's at times angry, but he's not actually an angry God. By nature, by his very character, he is good, loving, patient, forbearing, and the Bible says he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And for him to be angry, he needs to be provoked to anger. Did you know that? Because naturally, he is totally more loving and peaceful than you can possibly imagine. That's what he is. But remember what happened when Moses was on the mountain at Mount Sinai. He's up there communing with God. What are the people doing down below? Making a molten calf. Doing what? Provoking God to order, to anger. Do you know that word provoke to anger occurs, that phrase, 82 times in the Bible? You've provoked me to anger. Moses actually threw himself on the ground before the Lord after he threw the tablets down. He said, I laid prostrate before the Lord. As before, for 40 days and nights, I neither ate bread nor water because of all the sin that you'd committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the hot displeasure which the Lord bore against you, so that he was ready to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened to me that time also. Moses felt the fear of the Lord, right? The hot displeasure. He was afraid of it. And it was because the people had provoked him to anger by their sin. Sin does provoke God. He's a righteous God. In fact, in the Old Testament also says God sent persistently to the people, the prophets, his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words, scoffing at his prophets until, notice that word, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. God needs to be provoked. He's not just ready to go off at any moment. I actually sailed with a captain in Maine on one of the schooners. Big 6'4", burly Maine guy. He was a Maine guy, the schooner captain. When he stood on the quarterdeck, he looked like Darth Vader in his foul weather gear. I mean, black hat, flying white hair, blue eyes, and big black weather coat. And he told me about one time when he was a substitute teacher in the winter, I guess. And he didn't control his temper too well, this guy. And one time a little boy was mouthing off in class. And finally, this captain, his anger just came right up there. And he threw a desk and he grabbed the kid and threw him up against the wall. And he said, I'm a defective firecracker, kid. You never know when I'm going to go off. And the kid never had another problem. Actually, when he came back the next day, the class had brought him a Superman cape, basically, and they had no more problems. But is God a defective firecracker? You're never sure when he's going to go off? That's not our God. God, by his very nature, is good, loving, patient, forbearing, kind, and all these things. But he is provoked to anger, and he does experience it, and there is a day of wrath coming upon which even the kings and the generals, the rich and the strong, everyone slave and free, that is not in Christ, will hide themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Because the great day of the wrath has come, and who can stand before it? Who can stand before the wrath of God when he's roused in anger? No one. So God does have anger, but it's at sin, and he is not by nature an angry God. So then I ask you this question. Who is safe? Who's safe from God's anger? God actually tells us that in his word. He says in Isaiah 66, he says, this is the man to whom I'll look. He that is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. Psalm 25, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. And Jeremiah says, correct me, O Lord, but in just measure, not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. When a person turns to the Lord, to God, in repentance, and to Jesus Christ for salvation, he is all peace and smiles. And his anger is not upon you. We can see that actually in the parable of the prodigal son, which is our reading for tonight, actually. Luke 15, you know the story well. Two sons, one asks for the property, he goes and squanders it on harlots. There's a famine, he's broke, he's feeding the pigs, it's terrible. You know, he went to Vegas and blew everything, and now he doesn't know what to do. He's in dire straits. It says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, but I perish here with hunger. I know what I'll do. I'll go home to my father, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. When you sin, and you are far away from God, and you decide to turn back to him, you might have the same thought. God, I'll just ask that he perhaps, maybe, receive me, and I'll just be a lowly dog in his house, an unworthy piece of scum, but maybe at least I'll be fed, and I'll go back to him. You know what Jesus tells us this parable to tell you tonight? When you come back to the Father, you may think that he's going to be angry with you. You may think that he's going to have a hot displeasure, and you will barely be accepted by him. But you know what Jesus tells you in this parable? That's not the way it is at all, friends, with God. When he receives a sinner who comes back to him, look, the father, while the guy was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion overflowing in his heart, love. And he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him, kissed him all over. Where's the anger, I ask you, in this? Do you see any anger in this father? Absolutely not. And Jesus says that's the way God is with you. When you come back to him, you're not under the cloud of judgment, his hot indignation, his displeasure. You come back to him through Jesus Christ. There is nothing but running, embracing, joy, thanksgiving, and hugs from God. Do you feel like you're afraid of God's anger? Well, we do need to have a certain fear of the Lord. But in your life, what God wants for you is joy. Look what happens here. The father killed the fatted calf, best robe, put it on him, shoes on his feet, ring in his hand. And he said, let's eat and make merry. What does that tell you about God when you come to him? Let us make merry. Let us have a party. The Pharisees didn't like this sort of teaching. That's why the whole context is sinners were coming to Jesus. He was receiving them. They're like, no, 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 no. If you're righteous, you should be angry at these people. He's saying, let me tell you a parable. And he says, this is the way the Father receives them. Just like a lost sheep who's wandered away and I bring him back. He says, I put him on my shoulders and I bring him to my friends and they're rejoicing. And all the angels in heaven in the same way rejoice when a sinner comes back to God through me and I carry him home. Where's the anger of God at you tonight? You go through your life, you're cowering perhaps sometimes. I wonder if God is really pleased with me. I wonder if he really likes me. I wonder if he's really rejoicing over me. I don't know, because Satan's shooting his darts saying, hot displeasure, hot displeasure, hot displeasure. You get weaker and weaker. Jesus tells you through his word, joy, rejoicing. The angels have a party. God wants to rejoice and make merry and exchange gifts and have great abundance of thanksgiving and happiness over you. What do we read here in Isaiah 12? You will say in that day, I'll give thanks to thee, O Lord, for you were angry with me and your anger turned away and you comforted me. And you will say, give thanks, sing praises, for he's done joyfully, gloriously, shout and sing for joy. What's the result of your coming to God? What should be the result in your life? Mourning, sad, dark. Oh, I wonder if God is really for me. Oh, I'm having a bad day. I wonder if God is going to stand next to me. I will not be afraid, it says here. I will trust in the God of my salvation, shouting, singing for joy, thanksgiving, proclaiming his name. He's not angry with you. If you're in Jesus Christ who died for your sins, you believe in him, you're following him, you love him, you know, you're in him, you're under his wings of mercy, you are not under his wrath. God says in Jeremiah, "Return, faithless Israel, says the Lord. I'll not look on you in anger, for I'm merciful, says the Lord. I'll not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among the strangers under every green tree, and that you've not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, faithless Israel, says the Lord, for I'm your master, and I'll take you, one from a city, two from a family, and I'll bring you to Zion." Isn't that gorgeous? Do you feel that tonight? Am I actually connecting with you tonight? You ever feel anger like you're under God's displeasure? He says, "Return, I'll not be angry. And in fact, I'll run to you. I'll embrace you. I will rejoice over you, and I'll delight in you." For it says in Isaiah 62, "You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, 'My delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married, shall be married.'" So let's have a little audience or congregation participation now. Say, "My delight is in her."
My delight is in her.
That's God's name for you. My delight in her. Isn't that beautiful? Married. "For as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." Do you feel God's pleasure in you tonight? You know, sometimes we can't quite see it. We're doing invisible things here. But I want you to know tonight from his word, if you're in Christ, he delights in you. He delights that his son is in you. And that's the way you get out of anger, by the way. It's only through Jesus Christ. We read this, that the Son came into the world not to condemn it, but that the world might be saved through Jesus. And whoever believes in him is not condemned. Say, not condemned.
Not condemned.
Say, forgiven.
Forgiven.
Yes, an inheritor of the kingdom. For we read of Jesus and prophecy. I believe this is of Jesus, Isaiah 54. God says, "For a brief moment I forsake you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing wrath, for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore the waters of Noah should go no more over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart, the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion upon you. Oh, afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I'll set your stones in intimacy and lay your foundations with sapphires." Think about that. That is God's love for you. You're afflicted, you're storm-tossed, I'm going to put jewels underneath you. I love you so much. Yes, we were once children of wrath, but now we are children of God. And God says in Hosea, "I will heal their faithfulness. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them." So one more thought here. This parable goes on. Luke 15, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew near to the house and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother's come. Your father's killed the fatted calf because he's received him safe and sound.' But the older brother was angry and refused to go in." Killjoy. There is huge rejoicing over anybody who comes to Jesus Christ for salvation. But there may be some around you, maybe some Christians, who want to say, "But remember your past. Remember your sin. God must have great indignation against you. He remembers those things." Who are these people? They're like the older brother in this story, angry, refusing to come in and share in God's merriment. They want to be a killjoy. Don't let anybody kill your joy because God's anger has turned away from you. He delights in his people, the Christians, who believe in his son. And you might even find this brother in your own heart. Not outside of it, but in your own conscience. You're going along in your life, and you're thinking, "But God God's anger is still upon me. His wrath is still there. His condemnation, his oppression, his judgment. Wait a second, friends. If you're in Jesus Christ, you've come under the wings of his refuge. He died to take away your sins, to remove God's anger, and to put God's delight upon you. And so don't even let your conscience be that older brother and rob you of your joy. For what is the Father's response to that son? To your conscience? Ah, my son, it was fitting to make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. You were dead and you're alive. You were lost and now you are found. God the Father says to you tonight, it is fitting for you to be glad and to make merry with me in your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.